Welcome to Cock of the Walk podcast. This is your host, Wesley Burris, my co-host, Taylor Griggs. Back with a recap episode of an abysmal weekend in Columbia this week against the Bulldogs. What I said last week was my favorite week of the year quickly turned into one of the worst weeks in memory. Also, God, it's just I get tongue-tied even thinking about what I want to say right now. But you know what? I mentioned it to a couple buddies of mine the other day, texting back and forth several people during the game and whatnot. And one of my friends, you know, he hit the nail on the head. This looks like a JV team versus a varsity team, because it really did. Georgia was the superior football team on Saturday. Can't take anything away from them. I don't think I was underestimating them per se, but I could see where people would think that, because I was confident that the Gamecocks would show up and play a lot better than they did. And all I can say is I was wrong, and a lot of Gamecock Nation was wrong. We've been wrong many times, guys. You know that. It's tough being a Gamecock fan sometimes. You get your hopes up. You have a big game like this, and then this happens. I mean, honestly, I can't remember when we've had hype going into a game and been deflated like this in a while, because we have been down for a couple years and rebuilding, building back up. I really thought we had a talent level, and I want to ask you the same thing. I thought we were – in a place where we could compete in this ball game, because on paper, Georgia had lost, I think, 8 or 9 starters off the defense. You know, several of those guys are going to contribute in the league this year. Some did on Sunday. They lost Chubb and Michelle. And I thought those were big losses, maybe too big to overcome. Now, I knew they had talent behind them. And I knew they've had, you know, top 10 recruiting classes and whatnot, number one recruiting class last year. I think they signed, what, 7 5-stars, 8 5-stars, yeah. Some ridiculous number last year, an incredible class for Kirby Smart. And I knew they would be tough. But my God, when we lined up with them, honestly, now I'm going to take the first two drives out of it, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. I don't think they looked light years beyond us in the first quarter, or really even in the first half. But boy, in that third quarter, did the talent level show up. The speed difference, the size on the offensive line was incredible. I had heard about it. I saw some of the Austin Peay game highlights. Didn't go back and watch a bunch of it. Couldn't really take much away from that. And honestly, after this week, Taylor, I don't know what I can take away from this ball game. Do I think Carolina is worse off than I thought? Yeah, I think I have to say so. But that might be because Georgia is that elite. Because I do think that they might be ascending into that level that I don't want them to be at, man. Because it's easier for me to look at Alabama at that level, because we don't have to play them unless we get to Atlanta, right? Or every 6-8 years, whatever. It's hard for me to look at Clemson at that level that they're at right now, because they're our rival and we all want to puke when we see the Tigers do something well, especially after what happened on Saturday. We get punched in the mouth and see that. That's the last you're going to hear about that on this episode, by the way. Because it made me sick. But then to see Georgia get there as well, it's sort of, I don't want to say it doesn't, I'm not going to give up being a Carolina fan. That's not where I'm going with this, but it sort of makes you just think, damn, can we ever really, really get it done? We had 4 nice years under Steve Spurrier. We went to Atlanta. We got pummeled. Still, we got there. And I didn't think Auburn was going to roll us that day, and I was right there in the stands and saw it with my own eyes. Went and took a bathroom break. They were up by 7. Next thing I know, Cam with the Hail Mary. They're up by 14. They just don't let up in the second half, pummel us. Then the next year we come back, or that same year we had beaten Alabama. They were number 1. The next year we come back, we're 11-2. Then 11-2 the year after that. 11-2 the year after that. So 3 straight years, bowl wins. Okay? It was nice. Then 4 straight years bowl wins, actually, because then we beat Miami in 14. But those 3 years of 11-2, we had meltdowns. I think most of the time we were losing to teams that we were supposed to, I guess, if you want to say that. But when do we get to the point? Will we ever get to the point, in your mind, in your opinion, will we get to the level that Georgia's even at right now, talent-wise? Do you believe we can? Serious question.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I think we can too. I'm not going to sit here, and this is not just going to be a pessimistic podcast. It's not. My feelings were hurt a little bit Saturday. I'm not going to lie. Because I tell you that I watch pro football, and I have a new affinity for it the last several years because I do like to gamble on sports, especially on football. And I feel like the NFL is easier to predict week to week than college football is. And I also find the NFL easier to watch sometimes than college football because my only interest in college football is the Gamecocks and teams that we play. So, yes, I watch Clemson. And yes, I'll gander at Georgia and whatnot. But now we've played Georgia. I don't really want to watch the Bulldogs play again this year because I hate them. I really do. And I've said it on here, I think, before. My three least favorite teams are North Carolina, Clemson, and Georgia. And I think the order is Clemson, Georgia, then North Carolina, obviously. But I hate those three teams. We recruit against those teams in everything. We compete against those teams except for North Carolina and everything. We don't compete against North Carolina really in basketball or football anymore every once in a while, and we'd have to be really good usually to compete with them in basketball. But watching Georgia seemingly have twice as much speed, it looked like several times I was texting a buddy during the game that there were 14 guys on the field on their defense. It looked like that a couple of times. Now, we'll get into the stats in just a second. I was just wanting to kind of ramble here for a second. I'm going to do it again later. But Jake had a clean pocket a lot of the day. I think we dropped back too many times. I don't think we ever – you know, some fans are going to disagree with me and say, well, we weren't going to be able to run the football. I really don't think you gave it a huge effort.
You never abandoned the run.
Well, I think you can when it's 41-10, you can. Well, I totally agree with not trying to run the ball then. So don't think I'm dumb and I'm saying, oh, we didn't try to run in the third, fourth. You know what? You're down 41-10. You don't – screw running.
Yeah, but okay? They didn't even run.
Your run game at that point needs to be swing passes and screen passes. That needs to be your run game. And that could have been your run game throughout the whole thing. And I guess maybe the reason that we didn't get into it, you know, the fluke pass goes off of Rico – flips up in the air like some bullshit glitch off of Madden football.
Almost goes out of bounds.
Yeah, and then the guy, I knew it. I saw it coming down. I saw him looking up. I said, he's about to grab it. I didn't think he was going to run it in, but he runs it in. And in the way this game started, just with Jake coming out, five wide, like every team, I believe every team scripts the beginning of the game, and I think that makes complete sense. The reason being to me, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, you script the beginning of the game because you don't want to have false starts. You don't want guys to be confused about where they are. And you've been able to practice these plays, you know, all week when you have a week between games and even some in the offseason. Here's what we're going to do against Georgia. I'm sure they knew before last week, we're going to come out five wide against Georgia the first several plays. Man, Jake just looked iffy to me. The line looked a little skittish to me. We almost look to me. It almost looks scared, and I'm not as smart as Brian McClendon. I'm not as smart as Will Muschamp or anybody on that staff, for that matter. Not at all. When it comes to football, I'm not claiming to be. It just looked really weird to me, really odd that we would come out in that look, and then the next drive, you know, after that happens, and they get the quick six, and all of a sudden you're down, and the fans are deflated a little bit. Then you come out. What do? We like run twice. Just like it's predictable. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, that didn't work, so let's go to this. And that doesn't seem like a sound scheme to me. We looked – this is just to me. The first couple drives, we looked scared to line up and play Georgia. And I think that got better as the first half went along. And I think we had a couple plays where we stuffed them, where we hit them hard, where we were in the right positions. We got back in the ball game. And then what did I tell you last week and several weeks ago? We did a keys to success about all the games. And then last week, what did I say we couldn't do? Can't go out there and shank punts. Got to catch punts, field punts. You know, we've got to force turnovers. We forced one, but we committed two. One was for six. We shanked a punt right before the half. That had no bearing on the rest of the game in my mind, but you never know how the game will go. If you go into the half down 17-10, maybe there's a different kind of mentality, because I feel like after they scored their first drive of the second half and went up 27-10, I felt like our guys quit.
Yes.
I really do. And I saw a lackadaisical defense out there. I saw the offense just come. And the reason why, I don't blame those guys on defense, because your offense came out, their first three possessions went three and out in the second half. Just absolutely, that's not play calling. That's execution. But Jake had a clean pocket for a lot of this football game. I'm not saying all the time, but for a lot of this football game. He dropped back 47 times, and we'll get into those stats in a minute. That's unreal to me. I can't remember the last time a Gamecock quarterback did that.
Yeah, that's like
– probably Todd Ellis. I don't even know if he did that many times. Who knows? Tannehill, yeah. Tannehill, maybe. But, my God, we were a passing offense. And I know they're trying to go to more of that. I'm not saying that the run – a lot of that drop back passing. Hey, I think he threw – I didn't look this up, and I wish I would have. If you have a half-by-half breakdown, by all means, let us know. But if not – it doesn't matter, but I know he dropped back 20-something times in the first half. It makes more sense if you threw the ball late. But like I said, you get down 41-10. I mean, there's no running the ball to get back in the game. Honestly, at that point in time, though, I was texting people and under the impression, hey, man, it's, you know, when it's 41-10, get your starters out of there. Get some guys some playing time. Get some guys out there that you don't mind if they get dinged up, because Georgia was still playing hard. And Georgia kept they kept a lot of their main guys in on defense until after they, you know, it's 41-10, then they made another stop on us, then they kind of quit. And then Jake played into the fourth quarter and threw a touchdown late. I think it was like 9 minutes left. We'll go over that in just a second. But I just wanted to get this out of the way because I was extremely frustrated watching this football game, extremely disappointed. I don't think if we played this game 100 times that we would win it one time. That's my belief. I just don't. I think when you go and you watch this game, the talent level is that much different. And I hate being wrong. Just like anybody does. Nobody likes to be wrong. I got my hopes up a little too high. I predicted last week we could pull it out 27-17. Now, a lot of that was me being a little facetious, not being completely honest. But I thought we could win this ball game. I really did. You know, I told you I fill out a little parlay because I do like to gamble from here to there, here now and then, and pick four underdogs. Three of those underdogs won the game outright. Didn't need the points. South Carolina's the one that cost it for me. And that was just me getting a little too big-headed and a little too optimistic and excited about this football team. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm jumping off the bandwagon, because we have several games against competition that is winnable, one of which could be this week. And that's a big if at this point because of the weather situation with Hurricane Florence. We don't know what's going to happen. I hope for the best. And that sucks. That's going to suck for our brothers and sisters up in North Carolina, because if it misses us, it's going to really just hurt them, and that sucks. It's going to probably still mess up Myrtle Beach pretty badly, I would think. And there's going to be people that are going to lose their lives this weekend, this week, this weekend, whenever. There's going to be people that lose their homes and lose everything they got, and that's just – it's. We can't even think about football. I really don't even want to think about football right now. I was debating even doing this podcast just because of how I felt about the game and because of what's – I don't even know if we're going to play this weekend. But if you're listening and you're checking it out, I thank you for doing so. And I did want to throw some content out there because I thought, you know what, let's just do it. Let's get it over with. You know, pull the Band-Aid off. You know, don't pull it off slow. Pull it off fast. Let's just get this out of the way, this misery. I'm going to run down the box score for you real quick and quit babbling about this for just a second and just rambling on. And then I'll get back into some thoughts after we run down some stats and whatnot and run down Marshall. Give you some thoughts about what I think is going to happen this week coming up if we do get to play. I don't really know. This is the third time in the last, four seasons now that we're going to have a game that's going to be affected in some way. Excuse me, by weather. And, you know, Matthew wasn't as devastating as Hugo by any means. This hurricane could be. And we don't really know where it's going to go yet. I'm a little worried. I know, you know, it's tough. A lot of these boys are from here. They're going to have family that's going to be devastated, you know. This is just something that I don't even think a lot of kids are going to think about at this point in time. But you know what, maybe it's good to, if it does get to be played, to take people's minds off stuff if we have the power to even watch it or whatever. I hope for the best, like I said, but you know, it's going to be tough to get over this game. There could be a hangover from the Georgia game that could linger, because I don't think our boys – I'm not going to sit here and say I think our boys look like losers the other day, because they did not. And they fought the entire first half. But I do feel like they laid down late. And maybe some people would disagree with me on that. I hate if I piss you off or rub you the wrong way by saying that, but that's just my feelings. And what do you think from what you gather from the game real quick from running this box score? I mean, what did you take away from it as far as do you think that Georgia's legit? Did you learn anything? I definitely think they're legit.
Yeah.
But did you think, and I'm not trying to cut you off here, but do you think that do you paint Carolina in a different light now, or just give me your thoughts real quick?
I think, like you said, they hung well in the first half, and just some things went wrong in the second half, and they quit.
Yeah.
Noticeably.
Yeah.
By everybody.
The Georgia run game took control in the third quarter.
And I do think Georgia
– they laid on us.
I could see them beating Alabama.
Well, I would think – I told you before we started recording. I've watched Bama play Louisville. They looked super impressive. I watched Clemson and A&M the other night, and I really didn't want to. I'm sorry, I mentioned them again. I said I wouldn't. That was two very athletic football teams battling it out the other night. A&M scares me more now. They really do. I know that game was at home. We get them in Willie B. I get that. But we got Georgia in Willie B this weekend, and that didn't turn out so hot. And I thought, you know, with them being on the east side where the sun beats down on the away team, a brilliant design of the – stadium that we've employed, especially in situations like this, because it's hot in the Carolinas into October, sometimes into November. And I really just thought we'd see more, but I will tell you my biggest takeaway from this game, Georgia looks like the fastest team in college football to me right now. From who I've watched. And I haven't watched a ton of games, as many as I normally do, because that game just bummed me out Saturday. It really did. And I told you yesterday I was footballed out, and I ended up actually sitting and watching the entire Sunday night game last night, which I'm glad I did, and saw a apparently doped up Aaron Rodgers come out there with one good leg and throw off of just arm power and lead a great comeback. And I watched stuff like that, and I think to myself, you know, I've seen nice moments in Gamecock history. I really have. But are we ever going to have a guy like that? Are we ever going to have an Aaron Rodgers type guy? I mean, he's one of the best of all time. Don't get me wrong, but I don't really know if we're going to have a guy of that caliber. Jake was heralded as, you know, being that big time playmaker out of high school, and I think he's a fine quarterback. I don't think that there's really anything wrong with Jake. I hear some negative criticism from a lot of people, especially from Tiger fans and people outside of the program seem to think that he is just not the guy. And I have to tell him, you know, obviously he's the guy because we don't have anybody better than him on this football team. That's just the bottom line. I mean, I don't want to see Skarnecchia out there. I mean, I think if we do, then we might be in trouble. And they can praise him all they want to if he was really as good as Jake or interchangeable with Jake. Don't you think we would have already seen him? Yeah. Don't you think we would have seen him a little bit more Saturday? Don't you think if DeCarrion Joyner was the stud that everybody – not I said everybody, and I'm completely wrong about that. I'll rephrase that. That some people believe that he can be just because he was highly recruited, and I've heard from several people. They're going to move him to wide out or something like that. The guy can't throw the football – consistently, he can't throw a spiral. I don't think he's a quarterback at South Carolina. I think he could come in and play the quarterback position some in certain play sets. I just don't ever think he's going to be the guy. And Urich is a guy who was highly recruited as well. Obviously, he hasn't taken the steps to become as good to really truly compete with Jake or Skarnecchia at this point in time. So, you know, we've got who we've got. And I don't think Jake lost us that football game. You can say the pick six at the beginning of the game was a huge dagger. But we came back and battled back.
Well, you know, they went up. Yeah, they went up. Fault, though.
Right, they went up. Well, it is his. He threw the ball, so it's credited to him.
Yeah,
but it bounces off. Yeah, and then Rico had another drop. I mean, there were things. Then I see Tyson come in there and make a couple of really nice plays. Texting with somebody again, repeating myself, but he showed up to play. And, you know, and I'm like, okay. And then we went away, and Tyson's not in the game anymore. And I'm just wondering, you know, like what? You don't have to play everybody. I mean, all a kid can do in college is threaten to leave or threaten to sit or quit on the team. That's all they can do. I mean, you don't have to play. Play the hot hand. And he's been saying this the whole time. And, again, I think that a little bit of this game, obviously the majority of this game was just we were outmatched. Bottom line, line of scrimmage, they were better than us. Two 340-pound offensive linemen, another guy that's like 335. I think the smallest one is 315. A monster offensive line. Mauled us. Like Muschamp said, our only chance was to get a low pad level where if you're standing up, if you get stood up, these guys are going to push you around. And that's what they did. They didn't do it the whole game, but they did it when it mattered. They did it in the third quarter. They came out, punched us in the mouth, went down the field, scored quickly. We went three and out. They go down, score quickly again. Then we went three and out again. Then they go down with a long drive, score again. Broke our backs, period. When that game was 27-10, I knew that it was out of reach. I knew that. When it was 20-10 at the end of the first half, I knew it was dismal. Our chances were slim. 27-10, I knew it was over, and I know teams come – that's what I was kind of going at with the Aaron Rodgers thing a while ago. They were down 20-0 last night. They come back and win. And I know you're going to sit here and say, oh, ball, the Bears. Well, guess what? The Bears would beat the shit out of the Georgia Bulldogs. It's just that simple. They really would. They would manhandle them. But it's not really a comparable thing because Green Bay is a better team than Chicago. They are. But they are. They probably are. But Georgia is that much better than South Carolina. So I come away from this game before we run down the stats real quick. Honestly, I say Georgia's better than I thought they were. I think the Gamecocks are slightly worse than I thought they were. So I learned a good bit. I was saying to myself, what did I really learn from this? Was this an anomaly? I don't think so, because I think Georgia would beat us at least 99 times out of 100. I really do. They're better. I think people are going to disagree with me on that. That's fine. I mean, this is my opinion show. It's my podcast, and that's just what I think. I'm not trying to be negative because I think this team can still do some nice things. The East is still wide open. There could be injuries. We saw Kentucky beat Florida for the first time in 31 years or whatever it's been, 32 years. They took care of business, beat Florida by double digits. I mean, that was one of the games I picked out of the losers or out of the dogs to cover the spread, and they actually went outright. So, not to toot my own horn, but I kind of saw Kentucky giving Florida a fight like they did last year. Here's the thing. Wow, the Jets are just pouring on right now.
Okay. Punt return.
Yeah, so anyway – getting back into it, the East is still wide open, but I think, like we said last week, the winner of this game is essentially two games ahead of the other team, and that's a bad thing, especially with the fact that Missouri, I know they haven't played really tough competition yet, but Missouri just, we know what they are on offense. Their defense looks to be a slightly improved. They look to be in better places, in better positions, I should say, and I just feel like they went out there and just throttled Wyoming, who I know is down. They lost Josh Allen. They lost some key players off last year's team, which is pretty solid. They've been pretty good for a few years. But Missouri was giving up huge points to smaller teams last year. Doesn't seem like they're doing that right now. They're just out there rolling. I'm scared of them. I've been scared of them all year. A&M scares me even more now. So some of the games that I already thought Carolina was going to lose, I'm kind of solidifying that. I still think we're talented enough to beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I still think we're talented enough to beat the Gators, especially after Kentucky beats them. I do think that. I do think we're talented enough to compete with and or beat Missouri. And I think we're talented enough to go out there and hang with Ole Miss, even though they just look almost unstoppable on offense. I think their defense is a sieve, so I think that could be a high-scoring affair. We're going to have injuries along the way. I can't predict that far ahead. I still think this team can win 8 or 9 football games. I really do. They might could do even more than that, but it's going to be tougher now because I think that I don't think our defensive line is as good as it was last year. I don't. Do you? Because, I mean, I felt like we disrupted things. We forced turnovers last year. I don't see that right now I don't see the push up front from our defense. There were some plays here and there that we showed flashes against Georgia. But I don't see the push yet that gives me anything positive to say, honestly. Because I don't know. I'm losing my words. Let me get in this damn box score. Let's move this thing along. My thoughts are just scrambled because of what happened Saturday. I'm not going to say it was a shock, but it really did. It really hurt my feelings like it did a lot of you guys. So we started the game Saturday, big atmosphere. full capacity crowd hanging from the damn lights. And here we go with a pick six with 14-13 left in the first. Juwan Taylor runs the pick back off of a batted up pass that looked like something out of a damn video game. They go up 7-0. 11:50 left in the first. DeAndre Swift punches it in from 17 yards out, and they make the extra point and make it 14-0. We go down. Brian Edwards, 13-yard pass from Debo Samuel, and a nice little trick play here.
Yes.
Set up earlier by the little run by Debo, and they just sold out completely to stop him. We go 14-7. I was pumped up at this point. Defense bowed up a lot. The next couple drives stopped each other. Nothing really going on. They nail a field goal to end the first with 30 seconds left, go up 17-7. Now, we held them scoreless until the end of the half. We hit a field goal, cut the margin 17-10. I was disappointed because Bentley missed Tyson on a check down. And that was just disappointing to me. There was a play before that where it's third and short, or was it second and short or third and short? He throws it out the back of the end zone, and that would have made it manageable. Instead, he ate the sack. I think that was on second down, second and three or something. He ends up getting sacked, and then he misses him on the check down. We have to settle for a field goal, cut it to 17-10. And then one of the things that I just didn't expect to happen, Joseph shanks a punt there at the end of the first half where we moved the ball up to what, like the 40, I think, and then he shanked the punt. I think it ended up going like 17 yards. Give them good field position. They get into field goal range, drill it. Time expires. Our dumbass timekeeper there in Williams-Brice lets the clock run out. I feel like there could have been 2 seconds left. Not that that would have really mattered. They were going to kick it out the back of the end zone anyway, like they do almost every kick in this entire game. And they take a 20-10 lead in halftime. I thought at this point in time we're definitely still in the game. I would have liked to seen it be 17-10, or actually 17-14, like I feel like it should have been. It wasn't, and we had to take the 17-10 into, or 20-10 into the half. They come out, Mecole Hardman with a 34-yard reception from Jake Fromm, go up 27-10. That kind of solidified it to me. I was just sort of lackadaisically watching it at that point. I mean, just sulking. And with 9:12 left, Elijah Holyfield punches it in from 5 yards out. They go up 34-10. This is just, they're imposing their will this entire quarter on us, pushing us around up front. We're gashing us. I mean, like 7-8 yards a carry. It was tough to watch. 3 minutes left in third. We went three and out our first three possessions in the second half, by the way. Brian Herrien gets a 15-yard run, go up 41-10. And then we finish up the scoring for the day. 9 minutes, 59 seconds left in the game. Down 41-10, all the starters still in, and Jake hits Brian Edwards for a 44-yard touchdown pass. Taylor, give us some stats before I just keep getting mad. Go run down the stats real quick, and we'll wrap this game up.
For us or for Georgia, who you want to hear first?
Let's go ahead and hear Georgia stats, the bad wow. first.
Fourth pick.
The bad first, I guess.
Jake Fromm, 15 for 18, 194 yards, one touchdown, one pick.
Typical game from him.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say the backup quarterback.
Fields?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in and did a little of nothing. But
Elijah Holyfield, nine carries, 76 yards.
He here's a guy.
One touchdown.
Yeah, here's a guy who they really build up. This is Vander Holyfield's son. They say that Kirby Smart says nobody on the team wants to tackle him in practice. He's just one of the strongest guys on the football team. He's a stud, I think. He's been waiting, biding his time, and here we go. He and Swift and these other guys, a bevy of 4- and 5-star running backs. They always have, just steadily send guys to the NFL. That's never going to change. That's been going back to before my time, so going ahead with this.
DeAndre Swift, 12 carries, 64 yards, one touchdown. Brian Herrien, 7 carries, 45 yards, one touchdown.
Yeah.
James Cook, 11 carries, 38 yards.
True freshman.
Mecole Hardman, 1 carry, 30 yards. Prather.
He's just so damn fast. I mean, he's a stud. That might be the best receiver in the SEC.
Prather Hudson, 5 carries, 19 yards.
Yeah.
Receiving wise, Mecole Hardman, 6 receptions, 103 yards, 1 touchdown.
3 huge plays in this game.
Riley Ridley, 4 receptions, 37 yards.
He's another
star. Jeremiah Holloman, 1 reception, 15 yards. And there's a couple other guys spread out through there. DeAndre Swift had a reception for a couple. Now for us, passing Jake Bentley went 30 for 47.
I mean, not what I want to see at all. This is not the kind of football I want to watch. Now, if it's working, fine. This was a lot of dink and dunk, not a lot of huge passes. He hit a couple big ones, a couple big throws. Brian made some tough catches as usual. He's sure-handed. And I'm not trying to steal your thunder off stats here. I just wanted to say that we had some guys step up. And our offensive line, I thought, for the most part, played fairly well. Until that third quarter, we went 3 and out a couple of times. We had some snafus there on the line. We had some miscommunications in the passing game. Run game never got going. I can understand giving it up. We were talked down at halftime. Rick Neuhausel mentioned that we weren't looked like we weren't committing to the run. The other guy tried to call him out and say, "Well, you can't run." And Neuhausel said, "Yeah, well, you don't know if you can't run until you try it."
Yeah.
So go ahead.
30 for 47, 269 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Tyson Williams rushing, 6 carries, 26 yards.
Yeah, again.
Rico Dowdle, 7 carries, 18 yards.
Rico didn't show up to play.
That's pretty much, I mean, Jake had 4 carries, 10 yards. We had a team total of 54 yards rushing.
Piss poor. I mean, that's. I understand that this is an elite football team, I really do, but I thought, you know, seeing this veteran offensive line coming back, they had a lot of players missing off the defense. Here's the bottom line that I want to say about this. Well, go ahead and do the defensive stats, and I'll go into this.
Well, I haven't even done receiving stats.
Okay. Yet. Go ahead and do that.
Brian Edwards had 7 receptions for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He had a nice game. Brian, like I said a while ago, Brian showed up to play.
Yeah. Rico, 4 receptions, 36 yards. Debo, 6 receptions, 33 yards. Josh
and hold on. I do want to say this. Debo called the guy out from number 18 from Georgia. I don't even know who he is, and I can't call the guy's name right now, and that makes me look stupid. But you know what? Quit calling guys out. Quit calling guys out if you're going to go out there and be a punk, let a guy beat you, okay? Because we had a phantom pass interference call that was a bad call, and then later he actually did interfere with him. He did. But this is a kid that went out there and pretty much – his job was to shut down Debo. Mission accomplished.
Josh Van, 2 receptions, 29 yards.
I was impressed by him.
Casey Crosby, 2 receptions.
Tough catches over the middle.
25 yards. Ortre Smith, 2 receptions, 14 yards.
Shy had a couple catches.
Shy had 2 catches for 11. Tyson Williams had 2 catches for 11.
I mean, we're spreading the ball around. We got a lot of talent. You know, but here's the deal. It really looked like – it honestly looked to me like – I thought going in this game we got – we got 5 guys with Crosby that I feel like any team in America would have trouble covering. Well, guess what? The only guy they had trouble covering was Brian for the most part. And most of that was that 44-yard TD. That's their backups out there against our first team. So, of course, he's going to bust loose on them. So you take that away. He only has, what, 60-something yards, 70 yards, let's say 70. And he still had a good day against the first team defense, obviously. But not a big day, and Debo didn't show up big. I thought we would give them way more trouble, and here's the troubling thing to me, and this is where I think people should fear Georgia. If they can go out there and tear up what I think is a pretty good offensive line and a decent quarterback and a good set of wide receivers and running backs and come and accomplish what they did in Columbia the other day, they're a scary football team. They looked like they had 14 guys out there the whole time. It really did. Even when Jake was hitting passes, my God, there was somebody there to make a play. I mean, they're just fast. They're hungry. They're talented. Kirby Smart's a hell of a coach, and he knows how to coach defense. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. My rant right there is over for the time being.
How do you want to do these defensive stats? I mean,
yeah, just anything that sticks out. I mean, I really haven't gone back and looked at that, so you're going to probably surprise me here. Because I watched the post game press conference. I mean, I listened to it, then I watched it on YouTube to see the expressions. I like to do that.
We had
didn't go back and watch any highlights from this game at all because I just didn't want to.
T.J. Brunson and Kiara Thomas both had a half a sack and a half a tackle
Brunson
for loss.
Also had a huge personal foul call that cost us big. Just a boneheaded play by a guy that's supposed to be your leader. You can't do crap like that.
Daniel Fennell, he had a sack. Yeah. And a tackle for loss.
Yeah.
Rick Sandage had a tackle for loss. Montak led the team with 7 total tackles.
Not good because he's a secondary player. That's just that means.
Yeah, that means they're deep. They're getting through.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, they were gashing us in the run game, getting 7-8 yards of carry in the third quarter. It was abysmal.
Yeah. So it was.
All right. So we've run down. What was the total yards again? Just so we can say we said it. It was like 470 something to 330 something. Is that what it was? Was it 473-336? I looked at it earlier, and I don't.
And they don't have it all together.
It
here.
Doesn't matter. I've got it right here. I'll pull it back up really quick. I'm sorry. We're being real professional here.
473-336.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty much to wrap up the Georgia game, and we don't have a ton of information on Marshall, but obviously that's a team that most Gamecock fans are going to feel we should beat. I hope there's not a hangover from this game. That combined with the fact that if we do play – it is a night game, so hopefully everything gets straight after that. The hurricane is projected to hit, Thursday morning, I believe. Maybe we'll have power and all before that, but I think a lot of people are going to not go to the game because they got problems at home or whatnot, especially our people east of the PD region and whatnot, and here in the PD region, you know, a good portion of the fans that travel to Columbia every week, so... I don't know. All I can say about this game is I was really disappointed. I know everybody listening, giving us a chance and hearing what I have to say and feel the same way. And I'm not trying to make you feel worse about it or, you know, it's not like I'm going to have nightmares over it and whatnot, but God almighty, I hate the Bulldogs. They've owned our ass forever. I mean, we've had stretches where we've played well against them, but you know what? Now they've just had our number the last several years. I feel like they played around with us a couple years ago after the hurricane. I really do. Last year we played them tough and physical, which is why I thought this year, that team I thought was better, and I thought, hey, we have to be better. I talked to a buddy out of mine making a large wager on the Bulldogs, and he cut it down, and then he got mad at me because – you know, he didn't win as much money as he felt like he should have. And maybe he shouldn't have listened to me because I was drinking the Garnet Kool-Aid a little bit the last couple of weeks and thinking that we, not based off the Coastal game really, but because I did see everything I wanted to see in that football game, I thought we ran the ball well. We were efficient at pretty much everything other than the second team defense. I thought looked great the first week. It made me overly optimistic for this week. And nothing came to fruition, and we didn't play as well as I thought we should. And I hope that we can improve things going forward. I'm not giving up. I'm never going to quit cheering for the Gamecocks. I hope none of you will either. Don't go burning your gear like I've seen some dumbasses say online that they're going to do. You know what? We don't need you as a Gamecock fan. If you're going to give up after one loss, you can get the hell out of here. I really don't care about you. I'm a real fan. And that's why I get emotional about this. That's why I get mad and I get fed up sometimes because especially when you have to watch your rival ascend and now two rivals ascend to what seems like that next level and Clemson has gotten to that other level. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't mention it again, but I have to because that's part of what's our problem is it's a chip on the shoulder, man. We're improving the football facilities. We've got to do all these things to become a better football team. We've got to get better players in here. It's the bottom line. We don't have the horses. We don't have the horses to consistently compete with Georgia, Clemson, Bama, Florida, teams like that right now. Maybe Florida for now, but I think Florida's on the right track even though they had a setback against Kentucky. Kentucky's a good football team. They've beaten us 4 years in a row. So the fact that they've done that, that should let you know where we are in the SEC right now. And Kentucky's sitting there ahead of us in the conference, bottom line. And we have to take care of business. We play them week after this. So, to me, this Marshall football game is huge because you got a great coach with Doc Holliday. He runs a pretty good offense there year to year.
Back from the dead.
Yeah, okay. Well, and they got a lot of players back on this defense, and they're 2-0. So, I think we got to put this Georgia loss behind us. I hope the coaching staff, and I think they will. I think they'll get the players to understand, hey, man, you had a big setback. I hope it's not a huge hangover. Maybe they come out pissed. I hope the hurricane doesn't interfere too much. But, man, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to lose to Marshall. But I tell you what, if there's a devastating, catastrophic hurricane coming through here, and that just so happens to screw up our plans in football and whatnot, and we ended up playing poorly on Saturday and somehow losing that football game, man, there's got to be an asterisk beside it somehow, because with all the stuff that's going on with this Georgia game and with that, I just don't see how any of these players can be super focused come Saturday. So, again, Georgia, I think, is legit. They look fast. They look incredibly talented. And I think that they are right now have to be the favorite to win the East. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. They took care of business in Columbia. I hate they did. And all I can say is I hope we can get them next year, man, because I hate them dogs. I really do. To hell with Georgia. To hell with them. So let's move on to Marshall, Thunder and Herd, as the Jets are completely just pouring it on the Lions and Patricia here. The Thunder and Herd, Taylor, they were 8-5 last year, 4-4 in Conference USA. Doc Holliday's in his ninth season as head coach. Offensively, they're really multiple. They run mostly shotgun, go up tempo sometimes. They run a 4-3 base defense. They're 2-0 on the season. They got a pretty good bit of talent. Marshall's always a solid football team. They won their opener 35-28 over Miami, Ohio, a rival of theirs. And last week they beat Eastern Kentucky.
Miami of Ohio.
Big Ben's alma mater.
Yeah.
32-16 win last week over Eastern Kentucky, where
maybe he should go
they
back
pulled
and
away
play
late. I bet they would like that. Leading their team, Isaiah Green is their quarterback. And he went 24-37 for 272 and two touchdowns against Miami of Ohio week one. 23-39 last week against Eastern Kentucky for 278 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. For the season, slightly above a 60% completion percentage, 47-76 for 550 yards, five TDs, and one interception. Now, their big playmaker on offense is Tyree Brady, nine catches for 116 yards, two touchdowns in opening week. Last week, six receptions, 66 yards, and one touchdown. He's a big play threat. There's no doubt about it. And they like to sling the ball around. Not super-duper stats passing-wise, but they usually have an athlete. Isaiah Green is an athlete. He can run as well. Rushing, their leading rusher, Tyler King. He's a 5'11", 190-pound sophomore. He's had 21 attempts this season for 98 yards and a touchdown. Doesn't sound too impressive, but they really mix it up a lot in the backfield. They have a senior, Keon Davis, who had a nice year last year. He's 6'1", 215 pounds. He had 29 attempts so far this year for 95 yards and a touchdown. And their leading rusher last week was Willie Johnson, who's a wide receiver, and he had a big reverse-type play or whatever, 36 yards rushing last week. And he's also the third leading receiver on the team, I believe. So that's sort of all the information that I have decided to dig up on Marshall, because I don't even know if this game's going to be played. But I think that this is a game where – the Gamecocks should be favored by more than two touchdowns. I would think somewhere in the 17-21 point range is what I would imagine. I don't know if I would be ballsy enough to take that wager to lay that many points, because I feel like there's so much going on with the big loss, tough loss, emotional loss this past week. I just felt like you said the players looked like they quit in the third quarter a little bit, and I can't blame them. I mean, they got run over by a buzzsaw early in the third quarter. I think they didn't really know what they were in for, and they were out there with a team that was just a lot better than we were. I mean, it really looked like a good JV team versus a good varsity team. That's what that looked like to me. We were just smaller. We weren't as fast. We weren't as mentally prepared. We weren't as physical. And I think that's a testament to what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia. He obviously inherited a team that routinely has good talent, but he's a hell of a coach, and he's proven – that he's going to take that team. He's already taken that team to the next level, because they played for a national championship last year and in my mind should have won. They dominated the football game, and they ended up pissing it away at the end. But I'm glad the Tide got a championship and not the Georgia damn Bulldogs. And that's where I'm going to leave it today. I think we should beat Marshall regardless. I'm not gonna call a score prediction this week, because I think that was really a mistake last week.
41-10.
Get the hell out of here. You really think that?
Yeah.
I hope you're right. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I'm not going to call a final score for this game. I think we should win.
Angry.
We should be. Angry. We should be very pissed. But how much can you practice this week? I mean, how much can – this is what I'm saying. This is why I don't really want to give a prediction, because I really don't know. So all I can say is, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you I haven't rubbed you all the wrong way, and I hope you continue to listen to us in the future. The Cock and Walt podcast, I enjoy bringing this to you. We have another podcast as well as our gambling podcast called Inside the Lines. We usually drop it on Wednesday nights. Might be a little later this week. Hope you get to listen to it at some point.
What I'm gonna be able to do. Talking about me staying at work.
Yeah, I understand all that, but we're gonna try to bring that to you. If not this week, we'll come back next week with it. But our Inside the Lines podcast is a gambling podcast. Last week we previewed the entire NFL schedule. We only did one college game. The week before we did the five major college games. It's not always going to have a Carolina or Clemson type flair to it because we're going to go over what the biggest games are of the week. Typically, I would not put Marshall and Carolina in that category, nor would I put Clemson and Georgia Southern either in that category. So we'll go over probably two or three of the biggest college games and maybe four or five of the biggest NFL games. At the end of those episodes, after we kind of analyze the spreads and where the lines and money is moving, in those, we'll get into my wagers at the end of it. I've been doing okay so far, not as well as I wanted to, but not too shabby. So we bring you those on Wednesday, as I said, and that's another one of our little podcasts here we like to dabble in. So this has been Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs for the Cock of the Walk podcast. Appreciate all the listeners and feedback. We enjoy bringing this to you, and we'll see you next week.